Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying, skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
The following is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Tuesday edition of The Drive. A little bit of a... getting a little rain as I pulled into the parking lot. So we need some rain. Doesn't look like we're really going to be impacted by Dahlia. But yeah, we could use a little bit of rain. I was just telling the folks at the water at the water department that yeah, I could use a little rain before I have to start running the sprinklers. Hope everybody doing well here on this Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday of game week. And it'll be a little different set up here on the show. Dan is going to be joining us here early on. Then he's going to go check the media viewing window, which is at 4:30. Jacob, who just finished on the line, going to try to head over and check that as well. Don't know if we will have, you know, many other opportunities or any other opportunities to watch the team practice now that basically the season has started. But there is a viewing window today at 4:30, so Dan will be checking that. Then he will check back in with us. In the meantime, the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, going to be joining me here in the studio. So looking forward to that. Andy will be rolling in here in just a little while. And then in hour number two, our regular Tuesday afternoon guest in the 5 o'clock hour. At the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with Jake Crane of Crane and Company. And around that, we'll take your calls, questions, comments, game week, and, you know, what are you thinking? We don't have an official picking contest, but I'd love to hear your thoughts as to what we're going to see. I mean, right now, it is really, it's really an interesting situation. One of the things that I wrote in one of the picks that I'm doing is Auburn fans are excited for a multitude of reasons. They're excited because of the direction that things seem to be heading with Hugh Freeze. Everything he's done right. He's connected with the fan base. He's connected with recruits. He's connected with his players. I mean, and there's no question that he has improved the roster. How much we'll start seeing on Saturday, and we'll see how, you know, all these pieces, how well they start fitting together. You know, you can't expect everything to just, you know, be smooth and, you know, perfectly operating like a well-oiled machine, because these guys have only been, they were underdogs there and expected to lose. But they'll come in and, you know, see what they can do in a hostile environment, I am sure, expecting a packed house at Jordan-Hare. This will be a record-setting crowd at Jordan-Hare, because the capacity is 550 plus more than it's ever been. You know, it was 87,451. Now it's a little over 88,000 with the new configuration of the new, you know, areas in the corners of the end zone. So it's going to be a record crowd, and everybody's excited about it, but you don't really know what you're going to see. So we'll talk about that. Love to get your thoughts on that as well. I mentioned Dan joining us here in the first segment before he heads over into the viewing window. And Dan, yeah, is he just calling in now? All right. It'll be interesting. A few things to be watching for today at the media window as we welcome in Dan. I would think, you know, we've talked about the configuration there along the offensive line and, you know, the number of wide receivers and linebackers, I would think, would probably be some interesting things to keep an eye on today. Dan, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I would add to that, Bill, that I would. I'm also interested in seeing how active the players that Hugh Freeze, the ones he named in practice,
right, as
the ones
injured,
he named in press conference,
yes,
the ones that he said, you know, he was worried about injury considerations. I'm interested to see how involved those players are today and whether or not that gives us a hint as to how involved they could be on Saturday.
Yeah, now the three, he mentioned three, and then he went into some others that he said could play. But, yeah, J.D. Rim, or Rhyme, I guess Hugh called him Rhyme yesterday, so maybe it's J.D. Rhyme. Jalen McLeod, though, is one that I really, you know, I wonder how healthy he is. We know he was banged up a week or so ago. But I would guess the one that's probably the most intriguing is Robbie Ashford, who he said has an oblique problem. Because if that's the case, that's going to affect him in his ability to move or throw.
And it was interesting to see Robbie and Holden sharing
right.
the
number two
backup
spot.
Quarterback position on the depth chart. It was not 1-2-3 as presented to us. It was Peyton Thorne as your starter, Robbie or Holden as the number two, which suggests maybe if if they want to be careful with Robbie or they want to get Holden some reps in case Holden's the most healthy guy available, if something happens to Peyton, maybe we don't see all that much Robbie Ashford on Saturday and they play it safe. If Robbie's a spectator today, I do wonder if that suggests that they may not be leaning on him too much this Saturday.
Yeah, usually Tuesday practices are very important for playing Saturday. I mean, you can see guys go Saturday that don't practice Tuesday, but that means they're questionable when you don't see them on Tuesday. And I think that's a good point, Dan. I heard somebody else saying, wow, that the bracketing of Robbie Ashford and Holden Gurner at the number two spot must mean that the number two spot isn't settled. No, it very well could mean that for this week, with Robbie's health status, it could be Robbie, or if he's not healthy, it could be Holden Gurner.
And maybe Holden Gurner can still make a case to be more than the number three quarterback
sure.
on this team. I don't know. But yeah, I think Robbie Ashford being injured, certainly adds a level of intrigue, because I think we thought we would see Robbie Ashford come in and help the run game regardless of how Peyton Thorne was playing. And now that we're hearing that he's maybe not 100%, I could see the offensive brain trust at Auburn deciding that that's not the way to handle it this week.
Yeah, so I think today could give you a better idea of where that stands after yesterday. And then the offensive line, we'd seen Auburn make that move of Too Tall Miller into tackle and Gunnar Britton get a look at left guard. And then yesterday, back to what we had seen at the beginning of practice. So I wouldn't be surprised for you to see one or both of those combinations today.
I would agree. It sounds like they want to have more than five offensive linemen familiar with the way things work and what's expected of a first teamer. It sounds like the Jeremiah Wright, Tate Johnson thing, especially if Gunnar Britton is the starting right tackle, you wonder if Tate and Jeremiah are still battling to be the starter. I know Jeremiah was listed as the first team left guard on the depth chart we got yesterday, but that seems more than anywhere else to me, the offensive line is where there could be a shakeup or two between what we see Saturday and what we were given on the depth chart yesterday.
Yes, but now I'd be surprised if it weren't one of the two, though. I mean, if there's another change, then that would really be interesting. But yeah.
I guess the change there would be Tate Johnson playing his way into the first team. But no, you're right. It seems like it's either Gunnar Britton at right tackle and Jeremiah Wright at left guard, or Too Tall Miller at right tackle. And Gunnar Britton sliding over to left guard.
Yeah, now what you hope is, and what Hugh Freeze is hoping, is that he gets an opportunity to see quite a few different combinations Saturday, meaning that the game is in hand. This UMass team, it's interesting that Hugh Freeze lauded their defense yesterday and some of the problems they can cause. And yes, they did cause some turnovers, but they gave up nearly 500 yards to New Mexico State this past week.
Right, and year to year, it's tough to carry anything over. So a team that had a top 10 defense last year, especially at the Group of Five level, could see a lot of turnover between seniors graduating and underclassmen deciding to leave via the transfer portal, that it's possible that a team that gave Hugh Freeze fits defensively last year, you know, he said it, even if the result at the end of the game was a solid offensive performance from Liberty, they did not cruise to victory against UMass last year. You know, maybe they've lost a step from that defense, but this is a team that's added, as Hugh Freeze pointed out yesterday, I mean, they've added nearly two dozen power five, nearly two dozen transfers, most of them power five, was how Hugh Freeze described it. And that, you know, that can be an injection that can make any team a little bit more challenging. I would think Auburn has the advantage offensively, but this is opening night, and we've seen things go awry on opening night before. So, you know, you don't know until you get out there how much better you are than the opponent.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, and we'll talk more about that as we head through the week, and I'll bring it up with Andy and get his thoughts here in a little while. I would think that both teams are going to do their best to prove that they can run the ball. I mean, UMass with Pubichon doesn't look like they're going to be a prolific passing team. They ran the ball pretty well against New Mexico State. I think they have to try with the questions that there are seemingly about the Auburn defensive front. And that's what Auburn's bread and butter's got to be, is the running game.
Well, and I think what makes it easier for Auburn this year, and they had this to an extent last year too, is that when you trust so many members of your secondary to play one-on-one, you can gamble a little bit more in the run game. You can send, and for that matter, the passing game too. You can send more players on the blitz, you can have more players in the box, and you can ask your secondary to carry more of the load than a secondary on a team with a spectacular run defense might be asked to shoulder. So, yeah, I think that's something where a lot, it's weird to say a lot of Auburn's success as a run defense could come down to DJ James and Nehemiah Pritchett, who was also listed as one of the injured players yesterday by Hugh Freeze, Keontae Scott and the safeties, because, you know, Auburn needs those guys to play well in order to trust its run defense and trust its front seven to leave those guys on an island, often in coverage. So I think it's, it all works together, but Auburn secondary plays a big role in this. They were challenged early. I think part of the reason Hugh Freeze challenged them was because he knows that they could be, they could be asked to take on a lot of responsibility as a unit this season.
Oh yeah. I think they should be. You know, when you look at this and when we did back in the preseason, they should be the strength of this defense. And that's what he's expecting them to play and lead like that. And, yeah, while you're out there, see if we can get clarification as to what a WC or a WS is.
Yeah, I'll see what the W, because I've heard Wham and Weak now. So,
yeah.
Oh, WC might have been Wang Chung.
Well, it might have been. Everybody.
It might have been.
Everybody
yeah.
have I fun. Mean, I mean, yeah.
I mean, I'll ask if Hugh Freeze is a big fan of his favorite 80s new wave group.
I'm sure he is. But I'd be surprised if it's Weak, because it's generally they're the positions that have been called strong safety before. Odd if they're doing, maybe they're doing that because it's the weak side of the field or something. Anyway, I'll ask Andy if he knows that too.
I'm angry. It took me a day to think of that Wang Chung.
Yeah, the only WC I could think of was, there's Water Closet and there's WC Fields. So it's like, I didn't think it was either one of those. So,
all right. Was that Sucker's Bowl? There's one born every minute?
Yes, exactly right. Hey, I know you got to head. You're going to head on over and check out the practice. I'll let you go. Look forward to hearing your thoughts of what you get to see here in a little while.
Yeah, don't call it analysis.
No, I was trying to think of a nice way to put it.
I'll be there in the second hour.
All right, man. Take care.
All right. See you guys.
All right. Dan Peck is heading over to Check out the media viewing window, which is coming up in about 15 minutes over at the football complex. We're heading to our first break. Hour number one of the drive, brought to you as usual by our friends at Kia of Auburn on South College and KiaofAuburn.com. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And they're also the sponsor of our hotline. And that Kia of Auburn hotline number is 334-321-1390. You can also text us on the drive text box, brought to you by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, and that number is 334-564-1840. We'll get to our first break of the afternoon. Andy Burcham should be joining me shortly. Love for you to join in as well here on the Tuesday Drive.
This is ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Tuesday afternoon, 20 minutes after 4 o'clock. Little sprinkle. I believe now. Andy Burcham joining me here in the studio, voice of the Tigers. Was it sprinkling on you on the way in or just overcast?
No, it was raining. It was raining hard when I got to the car, and as I came here,
it lightened up.
And by the way, the traffic on Dean at college, I just went around it.
I've learned to avoid that. Yeah. I mean, seriously.
The rain has slacked off at this point.
Yeah, so. It was raining harder out my part of town, south of the interstate than it was when I came in a little while ago. But hey, good to have you back. How are you doing?
Good to be back. It's good to be in a game week mode.
Yeah, no
at
kidding.
At this point,
it's
breaking in a brand new 3-ring binder.
Oh, that's nice.
For this season.
How many?
That's the excitement of the day.
How long do those usually last? Does it make you get them through more than a season?
The one I had that I just replaced, I had for 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I used
that's
it.
Pretty good.
Yeah, for all 4 years leading into this one and all three sports. Hey,
there's some inside info there, folks.
There you go.
Andy's binder lasted him 4 years.
And I decided to.
Many things that you may not know about what all goes into the prep. Hey, a lot of people may think, okay, you've got the Auburn roster, so you're good. You just go in and let's go.
No.
You would never do that.
Well, I spent this afternoon already working on the Cal boards for next week.
Oh, that's good.
Because they released their 2-deep for their game at North Texas. So I started to put names and numbers in the boards for next week today. And that's typically a couple days in advance. Typically by Thursday I'm starting to do that, but I've been working on this UMass board since early July.
Were there any surprises to you from what you had seen with UMass and then what they have now this week?
No, as a matter of fact, their 2-deep from week 1 to week 2 is identical.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, when you go 1-11 and you win on the road, I wouldn't change anything either.
No. Which makes me wonder if, you know, there are some coaches out there we've seen in the past. They put out a 2-deep in the first week and they never change.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll be ready for some changes possibly for Saturday. I was impressed with UMass and their offense as the game moved on. I didn't think either team showed a whole lot offensively in the first half.
There was.
Now, the second half, they kind of opened it up. And Pumachan is a load at quarterback, especially as a runner. I mean, he's 6'2", 215-ish, or 6'4", 215. And I was impressed with the way he ran the football. And I think that's what we're going to see this coming Saturday is he and Kayron Lynch Adams.
He's the transfer running back, right?
Correct. Yeah, Adams this past week, he's out of Warren, Ohio. Had 15 carries, 79 yards, and a couple touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Pumachan had 90 plus, right?
Yeah, and he was good. I thought he was good. And their offense was better. They gave up a lot of yards defensively, but they also forced three turnovers that turned into 14 points in the game. It was the difference in the game as far as the point total is concerned. And that is as long as Don Brown is the head coach. That is going to be the calling card for whatever team he's a head coach of, because he is a defensive guy. He's been a defensive guy at Maryland, UConn, Boston College, Michigan, and Arizona. And they're going to be good defensively. They were good defensively last year, and they won one game.
Yeah, and they were pretty good when he was the head coach at UMass back in the, you know, back in the, I guess it was 2004 or 5 to 8 or 9.
He's 45-30 as the UMass head coach.
And they've been awful for the last few years.
Yes, they have. But as Coach Freeze mentioned in his press conference yesterday, and I know you and Dan were there as well, I mean, Auburn's not the only team that has enhanced its roster with the transfer portal.
Oh, yeah.
They maybe have done so even more so than Auburn at this point, and especially from an offensive standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were talking a little while ago before you came in, and I really think both teams are going to see how effective they are running the ball. I mean, Auburn, because that's what they're going to be able to do, I would think, and I don't know that you need to show an awful lot if you can run it this week against against UMass. And UMass, with the questions that Auburn has up front and with the success they had running the ball, they've got to try it.
I think UMass right now is a run-first team, and I think they will be Saturday. I think winning that game at New Mexico State took some pressure off UMass, not necessarily for this Saturday, but for moving forward.
I think they come in loose.
Nothing to lose coming in here on Saturday. And that win this past Saturday night was enormous for UMass. In listening to some of the shows out of Amherst and listening to just the – they won a bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
And they've never been close.
When was the last road win they had?
Well, they –
like 4 or 5 years ago?
24. They had lost 24 straight road games until last Saturday. And most felt – Bill, that if they are to make a bowl game this year, that New Mexico State game was a must win. Well, they won it, and I thought won it convincingly. And all of a sudden, now they come here and all right, take their chances in front of 88,000 plus.
Oh, yeah. Andy Burcham alongside here with Bill here in the studio. Drew at the controls. Let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And Terry is up first. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Bill. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Okay. Hello, Andy. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Terry. Good to hear from you.
Good to talk to you. I want to test your memory a little bit. I know Bill remembers, but you and Bill and Jasher Cox used to do a talk show a long time ago, and I used to call in Terry from Talladega.
I do.
Okay.
Test your memory
a little bit.
I do remember.
Now I live here in Auburn, so I'm not sure if I'm retired. I want to test your memory a little bit. Is UMass, are they largely made up of juniors and seniors, freshmen, sophomores, juniors, what?
They have a lot of depth. They have a lot of veteran depth. Even the guys that they brought in this year. So there's a lot
sort of
juniors.
Like Auburn. Yeah, I mean, it is.
Yeah, there are a lot of juniors and seniors. And Pumachan, their quarterback's a redshirt junior. Kayron Lynch Adams is a sophomore. They had their backup tailback, who I don't think he had a carry last week. DeRozier is a redshirt freshman, but he is a fabulous athlete. He runs the heptathlon on indoor track and the decathlon on outdoor track.
Wow.
So a guy that's got some speed there. But, yeah, there's a lot of juniors and seniors and a ton of transfers on this roster.
Bill, I agree with you. I think Auburn's just going to line up, push them around a little bit and rush for 300 yards plus and shorten the game because I don't think the clock stops anymore. It's like 2 minutes, does it?
That is right. On first downs, it does not until the final 2 minutes.
Right. Guys, you have a great day.
Appreciate
you, Terry. Good to hear from you.
And, you know – the way Auburn ran the ball, and I know it's a completely new offensive line, and you've got different feature backs this year. You don't have Tank, but Auburn ran the ball so well down the stretch last year. I just feel like there's not a reason yet to show too much, and I wonder after Hugh Freeze was talking about Robbie, you know how much we'll see of Robbie if you don't need him. I would think you'd want to save him and get him as healthy as possible.
It's a question we'll have for him on Tiger Talk on Thursday night. You know, how much do we see of Robbie Ashford in this game? How much do you want to see? How much do you think we need to see of Robbie Ashford in this game on Saturday? And it may depend on how he's feeling later on in the week. I was listening to the show yesterday, and Tex called in, talked about the oblique injury, and yeah, it is something that can linger from what I gather. I've never had it, but I'm told that if you
I don't know if I even have an oblique. somewhere
it's,
down
it's,
there.
It's cut. Mine's covered up. Let's
That's
put it
what
that
I mean.
way. But I don't know how serious it is.
I would think it
at
would
this
affect,
point,
you know, especially as shifty as he is, and then the throw, and then throwing. Thinking about that, so
I do have an answer for you with regard to the. I was listening to the podcast this morning with Ferg and Dan, and Painter, and they said Ferg said that it was a typo. It should be WS, so weak side safety.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, because they're the bigger guys who are usually what you'd consider strong safeties, but I can see it being weak side safety. Yeah. I understood the boundary and the field and everything else that was there, and I saw a WC, and it's like I've never seen it.
Well, it kind of depends on what you call it, because the nickel for UMass is called a Viper.
I like it. I like the cool names like that.
So you just have to figure it out.
I remember there was – 1 year here, it was going to be the Eagle.
And I think
and
this year
didn't,
it's the...
didn't last. It's
and I
a
think
star,
this year
right?
it may be the star.
Yeah.
So there you are.
Yeah. Andy Burcham alongside here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive. You can join in, 334-321-1390. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, 25 minutes away from 5 o'clock here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Andy here. It's been a while since I've said that here in the studio. We've got Drew at the controls. Man, speaking of blasts from the past, let's get to the phone. And King Abdullah, man, where have you been?
This is King Abdullah, the football ruler. But you can call me Frosty because you know I'm cooler. What's going on, Bill? What's going on, Andy?
King Abdullah, it's been a long time.
It has. You know, I was standing on the back deck of my double-wide palace yesterday, kind of overlooking my dukedom, and I was thinking about Bill's depth chart. We've got so many new players. It takes me 2 or 3 weeks to try to figure out the numbers and what they look like.
Mm-hmm.
I need a cheat sheet. What's the best cheat sheet for a fan to sit in the stands to be able to quickly look up a player's, you know, who's in?
I believe the best bet you're going to have is if you go to auburntigers.com and I haven't accessed this yet, but I've been told that there is a quick roster that you can access there on auburntigers.com and be able to identify, you know, any player, be able to see the numerical roster there pretty quickly on your phone or whatever you have there with you.
Okay, but I don't like the numerical thing. I mean, you know, you've got to look down a list of numbers.
When you're looking at them, though, I see the numbers, though, King Abdullah. I don't see their names on the back.
Well, yeah, you got to go through 1 through 99 or something like that, to find the guy. It seems like if you could set it up to where it's like X's and O's. Put your depth chart of the centers in the middle, the guards on the left and the right, the tackles on the left and right. Is that what you use, Bill?
I've got
something like that.
Andy does. Andy's got one like that. Mine, I mean, I list it by position, so it is pretty easy when I look at it. I can look at the centers, the left guards, the strong side defensive ends, things like that are all in one, you know, one grouping each.
Yeah. So is yours available for a download, or is the one that Andy uses, is that available for a download to put it like an X's and O's?
No, Andy's would be a little much to do. I can probably get that posted on our website. I think I can do that, and then folks can see what I sort of tweak each week. That's one of the things that I will check during a ball game. I'll make sure that our players coming in about where I have them at the position and in the order that I've got them, so you can sort of grade how I do. Yeah, we'll do that. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Hey, I'd love that, because each year it takes me 2 or 3 weeks to kind of get familiar with the numbers and the players.
And this year even more, because there's so many new players. Half the team wasn't here last year.
Exactly right. So, I'm pumped for this year. I can't wait. Yeah, for the last 6 months, I've been saying, man, it's a long ways away. And now I'm saying, boy, it's here.
Yeah.
It was quick. So anyway, hey, appreciate it very much, guys. I'll call in later on this season as the games go along. And I want to leave you with one thing. Like the farmer said to the tater, I'll check you now and dig you later.
Great to hear from the King, King Abdullah, man. It's he's always entertaining. That's a good. I will see if we can do that.
Bill's depth chart.
Post the depth chart. I mean,
Bill's depth chart.
I know Brian and Dan, and you know people talk about that. But I like sort of keeping up with it. It makes it a lot easier. Now I'm not called on as much to do the updates now that all the games are on TV and everything. It used to be, you know, back in the day doing live updates for different networks and things like that.
I have a story for you.
Yeah.
In a week from this coming Monday, the Talking Tigers podcast is Jan Davis, the Auburn astronaut.
Mm-hmm.
A week from Monday is retired Lieutenant General Ron Burgess, who spent time at Sanford Hall. He spent time in the athletic department. He's just recently retired.
Right.
And he talked about, because he has lived all over the world, including Alaska and Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And from time to time, they would get the phone bill, and there would be 900 numbers on there. And he said, before someone asks, that wasn't what you think. These were recruiting numbers.
Oh, yes.
And he listed you as one of the guys that he would call to get recruiting updates.
Oh, wow.
So you are named.
I didn't make anything off those.
You are named in the Ron Burgess podcast coming up a week from Monday.
Well, I had a little reputation back in the day.
Forrest Whitaker, yourself, there was one
other. Jeff Whitaker, Forrest Davis,
and you.
Yeah.
Those were the three that he named because he was.
We were the sort of like the three guys in Alabama. I was the only one that wasn't making anything doing that. I was just doing it because it was fun.
Just saying, you were named by General Burgess.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. Gee, it's nice to know. If I'd known he knew my name.
He does.
Man, I could have used that.
Too late now.
My goodness. All right. We'll see if we can do that. But it's going to be really interesting. There are a lot of fans that I've talked to, Andy, that are saying, you know, they're hoping they can get a program or something because they really don't have an idea. They've heard a lot of the names,
well, and
but you don't have the numbers to go with them yet.
And here's another avenue for you on game day. And programs should have the rosters there. Download the new Auburn Tigers app. And that has rosters of all the Auburn sports in it. Mm-hmm. So it's at your phone. Now, it's a little tougher on your phone to look through that, but that is something that you have.
Hey, we get to check the enhanced Wi-Fi if you do that too as
exactly.
well Saturday.
Auburn Tigers app, go to, you know, whatever, wherever you download your apps, and the new one is ready.
Yeah, I'm looking for, I mean, there's so many things. I mean, we'll see, you know, we'll get to see the new areas down in the corners of the end zones. Check out the enhanced Wi-Fi, the grab and go of the foods.
Yeah, we saw that a little bit of baseball this year. Behind home, at least the one behind home plate, that's the one that I went to.
And that was much quicker.
Yeah.
Much quicker than having to wait in line.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so quite a few things. I think, Andy, it's going to be a packed house Saturday.
I do too, Bill.
This should be a record crowd.
Exactly. I heard you talking coming in, and yeah, it should be. Well, it's a record number for tickets sold going into the game.
Well, we have a record number of seats available now.
Exactly. 88,000 plus. And to have sold all the season tickets and now to have sold out every game other than New Mexico State and Mississippi State.
Yeah, I mean, UMass is a sellout. That's
I think
great.
Those have chances to be hard sellouts depending on how this season goes as well.
Well, I think fans are really happy with everything that is
when
the
is
direction
the last
everything
time,
has
when
moved.
Is the last time you remember this kind of excitement going into a football season?
Well, as closely related to this, I'd say 1982.
My goodness. That
I mean,
long.
I can recall the feeling going into 2014 after 2013 or, you know, things like that.
Well, 14 was the previous record for season tickets sold.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Right.
I mean, that's coming off playing in it for a national championship, and you had Nick coming back at quarterback. But for a fan base that is not coming off a great season the year before, I'd say it goes back to 83 after Coach Dye's first year. And even though it was 5-6, you just felt we're on the verge, we're heading in the right direction.
Exactly.
334-321-1390. Let's get back to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And Pat is up next. Hey, Pat.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Going fine.
Good. Hey, I got a broadcasting question. So I know the stations have changed, but do y'all know, because what I like to do, the other ones that it was broadcasted on, it actually, you could pause it. So, like, when kickoff started, you know, you just waited till the first play and pause it, and then you could pick up Andy and the crew doing their and it lined up with the TV. Do y'all know if that's going to still be available? Or
that's a good question, Pat. I'm not certain. How did you do that before? Because I know that there are times when Jan is at home listening, and she pauses the TV, not the radio.
Well, what it is I listen to it on my phone.
Right.
And
okay.
So y'all would be, most of the time, y'all were like 30 seconds in front of the TV.
Sure.
And so I would rather listen to y'all.
That should be the case again if you're listening to it on the app.
Yeah, if you're listening to a stream.
Right.
Regardless of where it's originating, yeah, yes.
That should be the app, but of course we want you to listen to 94.3.
Right.
Okay.
And like I said, hopefully that they will have that where you can actually pause it, because I'd rather listen to you than the people on, you know, whoever.
Well,
yeah, you know what I mean?
I appreciate
you. Yes, sir. And my problem has always been is, like, when I can't do that, like, I get in trouble by the wife and the girlfriends or whatever, because I'm like, saying touchdown, you know, 30 seconds before they see it on TV. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't want to get in trouble with the wife and the girlfriends.
All right, guys. I appreciate it, man. Love the show.
I'm just going to leave that one alone.
I couldn't help it.
Yeah.
Oh, let's get to our final break of hour number one. Come on in and join us. One more segment with Andy Burcham here on the Tuesday Drive.
Hey, guys. This is Tyler Reynolds.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, final segment of hour number one here on this Tuesday. Bill, Andy Burcham here in the studio. Drew at the controls. Dan is checking out the viewing window for the media, and he will be he'll be in for hour number two at some point. Right now, let's get back to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Mitch is next. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Bill.
Uh-oh. Step into another room, Mitch. We're not getting you very well.
All right, hold on.
There we go. That's better right there.
Okay. The Vestavia Hills game you did from the phone booth, was that in 1986?
Scott Goroski was the Vestavia Hills quarterback. That sounds right. It may have been 85. Barry McKnight and I did the game, and we didn't have the phone line that we expected to have, so we did it from the payphone, which had about a 12-inch aluminum-bound cord there at the concession stand. I think it was 85. It was a multiple overtime game. I think Auburn won 48-41.
Goodness.
No, we lost that game because I played in that game.
Okay. Well, it was 48-41, though, wasn't it? Wasn't it 48-41?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, it was 47-41.
I didn't say Auburn won. I just said it was 48-41. It was a long night. I'll tell you that.
Barry and I did a game on top of the concession stand at Notasoga. We climbed the ladder to the top and did it from the ceiling.
Folks didn't realize
from the roof.
I was. Dan has no idea.
Yeah.
Jacob has no idea. Of what some of these what some stories of doing high school sports.
Yeah.
Can be.
Rod told stories.
That was a heck of a ball game, though.
Of taking a Marty and Martying to a receiver in the principal's office that was connected to the phone.
Yeah, yeah. We used to have to do that all the time.
Yeah.
Because there wouldn't be phone lines.
No.
So I was because I remember that was like the first big road trip, and
it was early in the season. Bus. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and rode up there. It may have been 85, and they came back down in 86. Or it may have been 86, 87.
Yeah,
because
I think I started working over doing a sports line with Jim in 86.
Okay. Yeah, it was multiple overtime games. I think when they came to Duke Stanford, I don't think it was that close. But I was like, I think I played in that game. Actually, in '86, I didn't realize this.
Never saw you, Mitch. I mean, I'm telling you,
from our perspective,
I don't know. One of us would stand at the corner of the end zone and holler or signal to the guy on the phone what was going on. That's how we did it.
Well, I didn't realize this. I was looking through my annual.
Yeah, but I was actually
top five in receiving yards in the 86. I think it was the 86 season. Yeah, I had 51 total yards, and I was top in the top five.
51, huh? really aired it out, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we really did back then. I mean, we had, you know, big
crumbs. Nothing like an air raid. That's right.
Right. But Andy, do you, Pat? I do the same thing, but I listen to your broadcast, you know, on a stream. So, you know, it's like over the internet. So normally you guys are behind the television. So I pause the television,
right.
Sync you guys up TV, and I don't ever listen to the TV guys. Never.
Yeah, and I think it's almost the opposite if you listen to the radio broadcast, because typically we're ahead of the TV. So.
Yes,
right.
It is. So, listen to the stream, and you should be behind the TV, and you just pause the TV and link it up, and you should be good.
Right.
All right, guys, thanks for taking my call and going down memory lane a little bit there.
Appreciate it, Mitch. Back then, Andy, people would have thought, if they'd heard what we're talking about now, they thought we lost our minds.
Yeah.
Pause the TV. Pause the radio. It's like
the big safety tip then was, if you're using the Marty, make sure that you have the antenna plugged in before you actually power it up.
Yes.
Or you could fry the whole thing.
Yep. I did that.
We all did.
Back in the early days.
We all did that
at
some point.
A long time ago. Hey, the equipment and everything now, the quality.
Yeah.
Big week. You mentioned Tiger Talk coming up Thursday night.
Yeah, we'll be at a Baumhard's Victory Grill Thursday night. Hugh Freeze, Auburn players, Gunnar Britton, so we can ask him, and Jason Jones will be joining us, and Rhett Hobart will be talking just about what you mentioned, some of the game day enhancements. Mm-hmm. So that is Thursday night at 6 on Wings 94.3. Then Saturday, of course, their game day show is 1 hour before we go on the air, so they'll be on the air at 10:30. Saturday morning. We go on the air at 11:30. Guests include Quentin Riggins, Stan White. We will introduce Will Herring to the broadcast. He will be honored before the game for his induction into the Cotton Bowl Hall of Fame. Stan is going to be honored for his 22 years of service as the color analyst on the Auburn Sports Network. We're working on Derek Hall, hopefully, to join us on the broadcast. And I'm missing one more, and I cannot think. Yeah, how about the U.S. amateur champion from Auburn? Megan Scofield and Melissa Llewellyn will all be joining us on the pregame starting at 11:30 on the east side of Jordan-Hare Stadium across from where the students go in near the Heisman statues on Saturday.
And right now it looks like it's not going to be nearly as hot as the last couple of weekends.
I know my wife is happy about that. Yeah. We have tons of family in town.
Maybe 88,000 plus people that would be happy about
that. Yes.
All right, that's great. Andy, again,
my
really
pleasure, Bill.
Really appreciate you stopping in. Look forward to this every week.
How does the three-ring binder look? Look good,
man,
to
it looks
you?
Really good. It looks really good. It looks ready. I mean, it's gonna get does that pretty much stay the same size? Do you add to it, or does it?
No, there will
you
be
just substitute.
It just depends on how many notes I have.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I've already got the notes in, though, for the week.
I'm sure you do.
Ready to go.
You won't find anyone more prepared than Andy Burcham for a broadcast. Andy, thanks a lot, man.
My pleasure, Bill. Have a great one.
We are coming to the close of hour number one. Dan will be joining in hour number two. We'll get his thoughts from the media viewing window. Love to hear from you as well. Jake Crane joins us at 5:30 in hour number two of the Tuesday Drive.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Hope everybody doing well on what is... It's rainy in some areas, And you're liable to get some rain wherever you are here in the listening area. And that's a good thing. As long as it doesn't storm, we needed a little bit of rain. It's been a little dry, more than a little hot lately. Now, got to keep an eye on Idalia. I know that our producer Drew was saying that he sees it looks like it's shifted a little bit, heading in further north. You know, the expectations were this morning that it would could hit right in the Tampa-St. Pete area, be one of the more damaging hurricanes to have hit that area. But, Drew, seeing, and I will pull up the weather as well, that it looks like it's headed a little further north, more toward Tallahassee, more toward central Florida than south Florida. So we will keep an eye on that, because that could obviously have an impact on our weather as well. And it does. As I look, it looks like, Tallahassee, Apalachicola, something like that, is one of the latest projections that we're seeing now. It has definitely moved further west. And that, of course, will bring some rain on the backside, which it looks like we will be. So we'll see if that does affect this weekend, because the feelings were, we might get a little rain, more like southeast Alabama getting some rain tomorrow, and then it was expected to move on through. We may get a little more than had been projected. But for the time being, just sort of an overcast, rainy Tuesday afternoon. Bill here in the studio. Dan will be joining us briefly. He is right now at a media viewing window. Of course, you never know. With Hugh Freeze, multiple times, he has allowed the media to stick around and watch even more practice. So we'll see if Dan is able to check in, give us his thoughts from the viewing window. Game week, Auburn and UMass, of course, this Saturday afternoon at 2:30. Our thanks to the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, for joining us for most of hour number one here in the studio. And, of course, busy week with Tiger Talk Thursday night, and then, of course, football Saturday and 11:30 with the pregame on Wings 94.3. Don't forget, before that, it's our own pregame show with Uncle T-Bone and who else is doing it? But Jacob? No, it's not Jacob. But anyway, we've got our own.
Jack?
Yeah, it is Jack. Jack Hudden and T-Bone going to be doing a pregame starting at 10:30. That should be worth listening to. No question about that. All right. Dan will be joining here in a little while. It's the 5 o'clock hour. That means that Jake Crane will be joining us at the bottom of the hour. We'd love for you to join in as we get things underway here in hour number two, which is brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And how can you do that? You can call us on the Kia of Auburn hotline. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one, and the number to get you through is 334-321-1390. You can also text us on the Drive text box, brought to you by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, and that number is 334-564-1840. At 5:05, let's go ahead and get to the phone lines, and Yellowhammer gets us started. Hey, Yellowhammer.
Hey, afternoon. Just curious if you knew of any television access, cable, whatever, for this game.
Oh, yeah, it's an ESPN game.
It is. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, there are games at all different times, and, you know, you've got games starting Thursday, but yeah, it is on ESPN with Beth Mowins doing the play-by-play. So it is like the midday ESPN game.
It's main ESPN, not yes. ESPN 1, 2, and all that
it is,
stuff.
It is okay. the ESPN, yes.
All right. Well, wonderful. That's good to be able to see this fledgling outing. I'm excited about that.
I think everybody really is. And like Andy said, I mean, I don't know if he said this before, while we were on the air or as he was leaving. I mean, none of us really know what to expect, and I think that is coaching staff included. They feel like they've done a good job of improving the talent on the team, and I'm sure they have a better idea than anyone else as to what they have.
but they still haven't had a chance to see as a unit, offensively and defensively, how these guys are going to perform out there in front of 88,000 fans.
Is there any holdover in last year's players to provide some structure and guidance?
More defensively, and I think that's one of the reasons why he really sort of pushed and challenged the secondary. That's probably your most cohesive unit returning from last year. You've got, you know, basically you have your entire starting secondary was here last year with DJ James, Nehemiah Pritchard at the corners, Jalen Simpson at the free safety, Keontae Scott as the nickel, and Zion Puckett as the, I guess it's now called the weak side safety, but the strong safety. So all five of those guys started last year. You have some other ones. Obviously, Marcus Harris is one of the main guys there on the defensive line. Cam Riley was a starter last year at linebacker. So you've got more returners really defensively that could sort of let their teammates know what's expected and what to expect. Offensively, you don't have as many. I mean, you know, Jarquez Hunter played, but he wasn't a starter really last year. Your tight ends were here with the exception of Rivaldo Fairweather, who may end up being the top target among the tight ends. But, I mean, Javarius Johnson's the only receiver who played much at all last year. And then you have one offensive lineman who really played a good bit last year. So you got a lot more on defense than you do offense. Fortunately for Auburn, special teams, you've got you've got Oscar Chapman back and Alex McPherson, even though he wasn't the starting kicker by the, you know, down the stretch when Anders was injured, Alex took over, so you've got a little more experience there. But yeah, I guess Auburn has officially somewhere in the 12 returning starters, but more of them are on the defensive side.
What about the punter? What's the story?
Yeah,
there?
That's Oscar Chapman. I mean, he's
one
of the best in the country, and he's back.
Oh.
Yes.
All right, kicking and defense. That'll win it.
Yep, you're right. Well, that's a good start.
Uh-huh.
Tough
all
to
right,
win without him. Appreciate the call, Yellowhammer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, and it's tougher these days to win with just those, but if you're bad at those, it's really, really tough to win. I mean, if you can't stop anybody and your kicking game is weak, then it helps other teams offensively. So, yeah, we can, we've talked about the positions. Obviously, I mean, I've seen a couple of people today listing position groupings and the strength of the team and so forth. And I think the secondary, your backfields, your running backs and your secondary and your tight ends have got to be the strongest positions right now going into the season. Offensive line, I feel, is going to be much improved, but we'll just have to see when they go out and play against, you know, someone else. But yeah, that's one of the reasons, one of the things I was talking about, why it's exciting, because you don't know. Nobody knows. You've got a feeling, and you may have a good feeling, you may have a bad feeling, but I mean, you don't know for sure because you haven't seen these guys together. Haven't seen Peyton Thorne taking the snaps. You haven't seen this offensive line playing together. You haven't seen most of these receivers. You haven't seen Rivaldo Fairweather, who I was just talking about. There are quite a few new faces on the front six defensively, with at least one linebacker. I think at times you'll have two new linebackers out there. You're going to have one or two new guys on the defensive line out there at many times. So, don't expect, like I said earlier, don't expect it all to click early. You just hope you don't have, you know, big gaping, obvious gaping holes early on that you're trying to fill. 334-321-1390. That is the Kia of Auburn hotline. Love for you to join in. As I was saying, I mean, football coming up all week. We get started with Thursday. I mean, and there are multiple games on Thursday this week. I was looking at this a little earlier. Some of the games on Thursday. Let's see. There we go. This coming Thursday, of course, you've got SEC teams in action with the Florida-Utah game is a Thursday night game. Really interesting. Is Cam Rising going to be able to go?
Is Florida going to be as bad as a lot of people think? It's hard for me to see a huge step forward for the Gators this year, but we'll see. I mean, it's at Utah on ESPN Thursday night. Among some of the other games, you got is that the only ranked team? Utah, I believe, is the only ranked team playing on Thursday night. You've got Nebraska-Minnesota is also Thursday night. Nebraska with Matt Rhule. Can he get things turned around? He has been able to everywhere else he's been. The TV games, let's see. You've got Florida-Utah, 7 o'clock on ESPN, Nebraska-Minnesota on Fox. That's also at 7 o'clock. Missouri is the other SEC team playing on the SEC Network. They're hosting South Dakota at 7 o'clock on the SEC Network. And UAB, by the way, also playing on Thursday night as they host North Carolina A&T. Friday games. So you got games Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Friday, the Friday games, I would guess, are highlighted by the Louisville-Georgia Tech game, which is on ESPN at 6:30. Got Stanford and Hawaii are playing on Friday night. So, yeah, Hawaii goes to Vandy, and then they go home. They're playing the academics early, huh? They go to Vandy, then they host Stanford. And then, of course, Saturday when the Auburn game is at 2:30, let's see, the televised games on the major televised games, Tennessee-Virginia is an 11 o'clock kick on ABC. TCU-Colorado with, as Dan was saying yesterday, they're promoting it as one of the biggest openers in years because it's Deion against TCU. That's 11 o'clock on Fox. Meanwhile, on ESPN at 11 o'clock, it's Oklahoma and Arkansas State. Kentucky plays at 11 o'clock, has an 11 o'clock kick on the SEC Network against Ball State. Then your next televised window, you've got an SEC Plus, which you'd have to if you wanted to watch Arkansas Western Carolina. But the next window obviously is the 2:30 window where the Auburn UMass game is on ESPN. ABC has Washington Boise State. CBS has Ohio State Indiana. Fox has Texas and Rice, and NBC has Notre Dame and Tennessee State. So those are the mid-afternoon games. And then if you're going to the game, when you get home, the ones you can expect to see, 6 o'clock ESPN is Texas A&M, New Mexico. The SEC Network will have Vandy and Alabama A&M. Let's see. FS1 has Houston and UTSA. Oklahoma State is on, that's the Deuce, I believe. Alabama and Middle Tennessee will be on the SEC Network at 6:30. So, I mean, it's fun. By the way, South Carolina, North Carolina is at the same time, 6:30 on ABC. And then Penn State, West Virginia at NBC at 6:30. So, yeah, fun looking at some of those. Sunday, you've got the LSU-Florida State game, along with a couple of others, Northwestern, Rutgers, Oregon State, San Jose State, and then it wraps up on Labor Day with the Clemson-Duke game. So great for the week one. Can't say opening weekend because we had week zero, but week one of college football. With those are just some of the televised games. A lot of other ones, obviously, as everybody is in action here in week one. All right, again, Dan will be checking in. They may be having one of those extended viewing windows that Hugh Freeze, I mean, it's great for the media to be able to see a little bit more. You know, if you do what you're told, if you just don't film, just don't record anything that has snaps or 11-on-11, then they're just fine with that. So hopefully we'll be hearing from Dan. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll check in with Jake Crane of Crane & Company. But right now, we need to get to our first break of hour number two. Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Hey, y'all, listen.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the studio, Drew at the controls, and we'll head to the Kia of Auburn hotline and our regular Tuesday afternoon guest. Now joining us, that's Jake Crane from Crane & Company. Hey, Jake, how you doing today, game week?
Oh, man, it's couldn't be more excited. Got a little taste last weekend. College football's back. Obviously, UMass a little bit better than what people thought, but hey, at the end of the day, Auburn football's back, and I couldn't be more excited.
Yeah, I mean, good for UMass. That was a huge win for them, going on the road, getting their snapping a 24-game road losing streak. And Andy Burcham was in a little while ago, and we were saying there's no reason for UMass not to come in loose. They really got nothing to lose.
No, not at all. And, you know, one big factor in that game last week was obviously the turnovers.
Yep.
You know, New Mexico State had 3 turnovers, led to 17 points. It's something where if Auburn protects the ball, they should be fine. I got the spread early. I took UMass plus 37.5. That's a lot of points regardless.
It is.
But, it's good. Not saying that UMass is going to be a huge test for Auburn. I'm not sitting here saying that, you know, it's West Virginia coming in here. But you do want a little bit of a test early to get ready to go out of that road trip where you're going to get tested a little bit at Cal, and the tests keep getting harder and harder and harder, and then you hit that midterm. So it's going to be good for Auburn in the long run.
Recognizing Auburn is a substantial favorite in the game, what are you looking to see from this team, even with the relative imbalance in talent levels between the two teams? What sort of information do you think you might be able to get out of Auburn's performance on Saturday?
Well, you know, schematically, you've got a new scheme in here, seeing how it operates. But the thing I'm going to be looking for the most is organization, right? How many penalties are you getting? And if you're getting penalties, are they physical mistakes where, you know, you had a hold or you grabbed a face mask, or are they procedural mistakes? Are you not lining up right? Are you false starting? Are you offsides on third down on defense, special teams-wise? Getting guys in and off the field, how the flow is on the sideline. It's a lot of things that go into it, because those things matter, especially when you go on the road, the flow of information and being organized. That's one of the main things I thought we saw out of Notre Dame that was a really good look, was how organized everything was, how balanced everything was, and just kind of the operation.
Talking with Jake Crane here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Jake, I mean, some fun ball games this week. I mean, last weekend, yes, it was nice to have some football. It wasn't a lot that would keep you for the entire game. I would think that, you know, actually the end of the UMass New Mexico State, the fourth quarter was sort of fun. But there is a lot of entertaining games on tap this weekend. What are a couple that really jump out at you?
Well, you know, I mean, even before we get to the weekend, I'm interested to see Florida and Utah.
Yep.
I like Utah a lot.
That is the weekend. What are you talking about? Thursday's the weekend with football.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sorry, Bill. I'm sorry. Heck, at this point, I'd be excited if you know, anybody was playing anybody. But looking toward the weekend, obviously, you got to say South Carolina, North Carolina. I think that's one of the pick-ems. I'm interested to see Colorado and TCU, too. I'm interested to see how Prime and Colorado looks. They're going to struggle up front. TCU, obviously, Chandler Morris is back after being hurt last year. We all know what Max Duggan did when he came in. Florida State and LSU on Sunday is going to be awesome. And a sneaky game, Clemson at Duke on Monday. I mean, what Mike Elko's done at Duke, at least what he did in the first year, was unbelievably impressive. South Alabama and Tulane, man, talking a little group of five. I think that may end up being one of the best games of the weekend outside of the Power Five. And then, you know, UTSA is a favorite over Houston right now. But, I mean, across the board, conference to conference, you know, I want to see how Joe Milton looks at Tennessee,
right?
How he handles that, I think, is going to be very interesting. I really want to see how many points is going to get scored in this Western Kentucky South Florida game. That one's going to be interesting as well. But West Virginia at Penn State, I think Penn State ends up winning that one big. Penn State's a 20.5 point favorite right now. And then obviously who trots out at quarterback for Alabama?
You know, Jake, I'm curious to see, and it's going to be going on during the Auburn game, so I'll have to be split screening it. But the Cal North Texas game on Saturday, Auburn's opponent in week two, going to Denton and taking on North Texas. Cal's got the new offensive coordinator, former Texas State coach Jake Spavital, stepping in as the new offensive coordinator for Coach Wilcox at Berkeley. What do you expect? Cal's about a touchdown favorite, I think, at North Texas. What do you expect out of the Bears? And what do you think of them playing a competitive-looking road game the week before Auburn comes to town?
Yeah, you know, it's I don't know if when they scheduled North Texas, you know, because, I mean, they schedule games like 10 years out now, if they knew exactly what they'd be getting into on the road. But North Texas is a team that, you know, last year, that was a heck of a conference championship against UTSA. They did lose a lot, including a linebacker to Auburn. That I think is going to end up being a pretty good player. But those are one of my favorite dog bets of the weekend. They're plus 200 right now to beat Cal. Cal's got a bunch of new moving pieces, and it's going to be crazy in Denton. They love their football out there just as much as anybody. I would not be shocked at all if North Texas beats Cal.
I just showed Bill something else about what it's going to
be. Yeah, it's going to be 100 degrees. It says game time there for that ball game. Yeah, I guess, you know, it's two things. It's Cal showing their willingness to head east. They're willing to go anywhere that somebody would take them. And yeah, by the way, and North Texas sent another player to Auburn. Jair Shorter also came to Auburn from North
Very
Texas.
True.
So I wonder if Auburn's North Texas guys can hit up some of their former teammates for some little info on Cal.
Oh yeah, everybody knows everybody. I mean, it's basically espionage anyway. So they're going to find a way to figure out what's going on and what is what. They'll kind of know how the personnel stacks up because they'll be able to ask those guys, hey, you know, how's this guy at left guard, you know, going against their three tech, a guy at center going against their nose, and so on and so forth. So you're always trying to garner information. But I tell you what, man, I like North Texas at that plus 200. I really like that over at 54 as well.
Yeah, I think North Texas has a real shot of winning that football game as well. It's a dangerous one. And that's not, you know, Auburn people might get overconfident if North Texas beats Cal. That's a road game and a season opener in 100-degree weather. Yeah. It's gonna be a challenge for Cal. Then regardless of what happens, they gotta find a way to shake it off. And how about that so those two out of conference games at North Texas hosting Auburn, and then you go play a Power Five conference schedule for Cal. It's a challenge. I mean look, we saw in the notes yesterday, Jake, Auburn is the only team in the bowl subdivision playing five teams that were ranked in the preseason AP top 25, the five teams, the five SEC teams on Auburn's schedule. I would add to that, there's a sixth team, Arkansas, that received more votes in the preseason poll than Auburn did, and Auburn goes to Arkansas as well. So you got five ranked teams and a sixth one that got more votes than you're playing on the road. I mean, that's a tough draw. What Cal's attempting is pretty difficult as well, with a tough group of five road game, hosting an SEC team, and then going and playing nine conference games in the Pac-12.
If that game was scheduled a long time ago, what were they thinking? Why would you agree to go to North Texas?
Could it have been a 2-for-1? As North Texas maybe been, because I know some group of five programs are willing to do the 2-for-1 instead of the payout. But yeah, maybe Cal thought it would be maybe Sonny Dykes scheduled it. Right back.
Yeah,
back,
maybe
back,
that makes. Yeah, maybe. Maybe Sonny he wanted Dykes to get closer to home.
Yeah, and he wanted to recruit some Texas guys, and now now Wilcox is paying the price for it.
No, without a doubt. I mean, look, and I mean this. You can make the argument that at the end of the year, the Pac-12 may have the second best conference from top to bottom in the country with some of the teams they have over there. They have five legitimate teams. They could make a run at doing some serious damage. And look, Wilcox needs it over there. He's on the hot seat. He's got to have a year to show progress. I think he may be out the door. But look, Auburn's schedule, it's always like being jumped by a group of ninjas anyway. Might as well just add another one to the list.
I still, you know, if he can turn things around, I was struck by how interested Oregon was in him the first time. And I don't know, it feels like Dan Lanning is a candidate whenever a big job in the Southeast opens up from here on. So, you know, I think Wilcox is maybe coaching for more than just his job at Cal. I mean, highly respected coach. I think he'll be fine no matter what, because people recognize that that's one of the tougher Power Five jobs there is, as long as the Power Five is still a term we can use for the next 3 months or
so. Yeah, I mean, that's one thing. The if things go well and they do have a good year, they can go, gee, just remember when. But Justin Wilcox was born in Eugene and went to Oregon. So
reportedly turned down the job when Dan Lanning got it after.
And you think he might have second thoughts on that now?
Maybe.
Great decision, bud.
Yeah, he thought he was building something in Berkeley, and he didn't know they were going to stop being a bowl.
He didn't know the whole rest of the league was going to go, hey, we're out of here.
He didn't know they were going to stop being a bowl subdivision team in a couple of years or whatever's going to happen with Cal and Stanford. I don't know. Hey, what are you thinking of? What are you thinking on LSU Florida State, Jake?
Man, I think that's one of the pick'ems. I think South Carolina, North Carolina is the pick'em. I like LSU by a little bit. I think this may end up being the last team with the ball. I think it's going to be higher scoring than what some people are thinking. I mean, you look at what both teams have offensively. They're good up front. They've got weapons on the outside. They're good at tight end. Florida State brought in Jaheim Bell from South Carolina. I think it may come down to who gets the ball last. I know it's a little bit personal. Obviously, for LSU, after what happened last year, kind of the way they lost in Brian Kelly's first game. But give me LSU, man. I think they find a way.
I sort of like that, too. I'm right there with you on I want to see exactly what we see from Joe Milton at Tennessee.
If Florida State wins, they're looking like – I mean, Georgia would – if you told me a Power 5 team right now was going to go 12-0 regular season, I would guess it was Georgia. If you told me another one was going 12-0, and you told me Florida State beat LSU on Sunday, I would think Florida State's in the discussion to be
without a doubt
to be a team that could go 12-0 in the regular season if they can win this game.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, I'm calling this game the greatest insurance game of the season. It's week one. You're not playing a conference opponent. I think both of these teams are going to have really good years. And if you lose this early in the year, and you go 11-1, you still got a really good chance of getting in the playoff, even if you don't make the conference championship game. If you win it, if you're Florida State and you win it, it kind of buys you a loss at Clemson. If you're LSU and you win it, it kind of buys you a loss at Alabama. So it's the best insurance game, I think, of the whole year.
Yeah, and if you lose it, you've got plenty of time. You've got plenty of time and opportunities to make up for it.
Might be the best.
That's a great point.
Might be the best out of conference game of the year, too, as far as where these teams are in the preseason.
You look, Bama, Texas would be up there as well.
Ohio State's going to Notre Dame later in September.
USC's going to Notre Dame. Yep. There's some really good even though Notre Dame's not in the conference, but at the end of the day, they're not in Ohio State's conference, so it counts. But, it's one of many good – I mean, Texas Tech and Oregon. I think Texas Tech beats Oregon week two.
Ooh, listen to you, Texas Tech, going to knock off the Bo Nix and the Ducks in week two. How about that one? Yeah, I mean, Bama, Texas, we'll talk about in week two. What do you what do you think Bama's quarterback situation looks like on Saturday?
You know, I think multiple guys are going to play. I mean, against Middle Tennessee, I think they're going to be able to dominate him up front so much. I don't really know if we're going to have a good answer after that. I mean, the whole kitchen's going to be open. Part of me, I just have a hard time believing this system fits Jalen Milroe very well. I don't think Buckner's going to be the guy. Nick's played it really close to the vest. He's talking about not giving out a depth chart. There's a lot of coaches that are doing that nowadays. Yeah. I think it's going to basically be a glorified scrimmage, and they're going to kind of do it the way that Michigan did it last year, but with three guys instead of two.
Yeah, you got three schools in the SEC West that aren't releasing depth charts, Alabama, LSU, and A&M. And then Hugh Freeze saying he doesn't know where that depth chart that was handed out yesterday came from. So you have to watch games, because a depth chart doesn't necessarily mean that's the order people are going to go out there anyway.
We used to look. I mean, there's rules. There used to be some rules where, you have to swap film at a certain time. You do have to send a depth chart to the other team. But, the depth chart can change at any point in time. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's gamesmanship that goes along with this whole thing.
Yep. Hey, one other game you mentioned quickly. I'm seeing some folks that are liking the Jags against Tulane.
Oh, man, I hope so. I think that has a chance to be one of the best games of the weekend. What a matchup. Two teams in the group of five that are really on the rise. Obviously, what Coach Fritz has done at Tulane is really impressive. They return a good squad. Coach Womack's done at South Alabama, it just was a matter of time before that place got going. They're going to be really good from a depth standpoint. You're going to see two quality teams in the group of five battling it out. I got to go with my Jags, man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm nervous about about the new look Coastal Carolina Chants coming to going to Pasadena on Saturday night. I think Chip Kelly and UCLA can handle Coastal, but that's a scary team to be coming into your house on the first Saturday night of the season.
It is, and
I think people will be watching. That's the late game on ESPN Saturday night. UCLA hosting Coastal Carolina, and that could be something of a shootout.
Yeah, you know, Grayson's back for year 45. Going to be interested to watch him. But no, yeah, I mean, you lost Jamie Chadwell.
Tiger Campbell and Grayson went to kindergarten together back in like the
'70s, back in '84. Yeah. It's Coastal's. You know, if you've ever been to Coastal's campus, you understand why they're able to get players. They're very scary. They're experienced at some very important spots. You know, I think a lot of people were surprised that Ethan Garber's won that job out at UCLA over Dante Moore. I think UCLA will be a little bit too much for him from a depth standpoint up front. You know, Coastal got hurt in the transfer portal a little bit on the offensive and defensive line. But, I mean, those guys know how to win. They're not going to go in there afraid. And if they set the tone early, it could be a four-quarter game.
Great stuff, Jake. I mean, it is great to finally be here. I mean, with everybody going this week and some really good matchups, and you guys do a great job. Let everybody know what you've got coming up there at Crane & Company.
Oh, yeah, we had Tim Brando on today. I mean, we're rocking and rolling college football in the NFL. We got live calls tomorrow talking everything Auburn included. So if you're up early in the morning, just hop onto YouTube, Crane & Company, C-R-A-I-N and Company. We're live 6:30 to 8 a.m. Central. It's on there all day, though, so if you're not able to join it live, that's fine. You can call in, ask questions as well. We have a ton of fun. We're almost to 100,000 subscribers, so hop in.
Jake, I think the Kent State transfer could still make a run in this UCLA quarterback battle.
I think
Colin could absolutely emerge this year, and I like that over. Oh, wait, you can find it at 65 some places in Coastal UCLA. I think that game's hitting over 65.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked, especially with the Chip Kelly coach team. They lost a lot on defense as well, so it should be fun. Man, there's a lot of great games on the slate. I'm just going to enjoy it. YouTube TV has multi-view now. I'm like a little kid in a candy store. By the way, take a little bit, sprinkle it on the under for Nebraska-Minnesota, 43.5 with the new clock rules. They're supposed to be 30-mile-per-hour winds as well.
There'll
be a lot of running the ball in that one.
Ooh, okay. That's interesting. Jake, great stuff, man. We really appreciate it. Have a great week.
Y'all be good. Talk to y'all next week. Hopefully Auburn's 1-0.
All right. Jake Crane joining us as he does on Tuesdays. We got to get to that last break so we can pay the bills. We'll be right back to wrap it up on The Drive.
Hi, this is Michael from University Ace Hardware.